Kay Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, say a gunman deliberately set a brush fire, then ambushed firefighters at the scene. Two were killed, a third injured. Kootenai County Sheriff Robert Norris says the suspect died as well.
We had a fire that was rapidly approaching the body, so we had to scoop up that body.
Lawmakers in the Senate debated the president's massive budget bill late into the night. California Democrat Adam Schiff.
Does it lead our country on a new path towards affordability and prosperity? And the answer, the simple, terrible, but clear as day answer is no.
Jury deliberations begin today at Sean Combs' trial. CBS's Jerika Duncan is at the courthouse in New York.
Prosecutors have argued that the 55-year-old rapper and producer was the leader of what they call a criminal enterprise that forced women into engaging in sex acts.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Milwaukee is in mourning. It was mid-afternoon yesterday when the death of Officer Kendall Corder was announced. Law enforcement and rescue personnel lined streets from Frater to the medical examiner's office in a show of respect to the fallen officer. Officer Corder was fatally shot while responding to a shots fired call last Thursday. He was 32 with 6 years of service. His partner, Officer Christopher McCray, was also shot but is expected to recover. The suspected shooter, 22-year-old Tremaine Jones, was arrested with now homicide among the likely charges. Three people have been hospitalized and one has died in Wisconsin from a rare tick-borne virus. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The State Department of Health Services recommends you get tested for the Powassan virus, which is transmitted through an infective deer tick. It's the same tick that spreads Lyme disease and several other illnesses. Powassan virus can lead to a mild illness or neurological disease. Some symptoms include fever, headache, vomiting, and weakness. While the virus is rare, Wisconsin reported 12 cases last year, the second highest number in the U.S. behind Minnesota. You can prevent tick bites by wearing repellent, long-sleeve clothing, and tucking your pants into your socks.
Don't be alarmed if you see a lot of swords in downtown Milwaukee. For the next week, Milwaukee is hosting the world's largest fencing tournament. The USA Fencing National Championships kicked off over the weekend in the Deer District. Thousands of visitors are expected as the event takes over the Baird Center through the 7th. It's free and open to the public. This is the first time the Fencing National Championships have come to Wisconsin. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know, go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new 3-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic every night. Every night he gives us something defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a thunderstorm or two possible this afternoon. We'll get to 81 for a high. Tonight, clear, 65. Tomorrow, sunshine, 83. By Wednesday, it's going to be sunny with a high of 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to FreedomFireworksWI.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Take a look back at the weekend headlines with Pat Kreitlow, Trigby Olson, and State Senator Kelder Royce on what's happening in the Joint Finance Committee. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
With a coffee mug that says, I am silently correcting your grammar, although oftentimes not so silently, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Hope you had a nice weekend. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy are going to join us from A1 in just a moment. First, a reminder that coming up at the bottom of this hour, we'll talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward about the legal group's lawsuit against Elon Musk, hoping to prevent a future episodes of billionaire bribery in connection with Wisconsin elections. And tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser, Dan Schaefer, and more. Then on Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud from up north talking about removing lead water lines. It's not just a Milwaukee thing. In her district, Superior has a real problem with that. And the legislature was not really that helpful last week on the topic. So I've got all that and more coming up. But first, at 8:07 now, time to bring in our friends John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison. Guys, how are you?
Morning, Pat.
Real good, Pat.
Doing nice. Well. How are you?
Remember those mugs, Pat, where you pour the hot liquid into the mug and the either the writing on the outside of the mug would disappear?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or appear. Well, things would appear on
Things would appear, he said.
That, yeah. That
almost family-friendly for radio, but the 1970s were so fun.
But that happened in the Bush administration. Really? You know, yeah. They had all these different mugs.
Hmm.
Yeah, the progressives came out with mugs that had disappearing writing and maps on it.
Oh, see, I was thinking about something differently, but I'm also.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yes. Those
I'm,
kind of.
Been there, done that, Pat. Thank you.
I'm of an era where when you discover your dad's secret stash of Playboys, I mean, exactly. that is finding gold in them Thar Hills, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Yes, those were the days.
Yes. I was just before I came to you, I've got a hayfield right across the street, and the tractor came by to do first cutting. It's so different now as the farms get bigger, you know? It used to be you needed 6 kids on the back of a flatbed, you know, and the little square bales would come up, and everything had to be dry, because otherwise, you know, you were going to get into problems. Nowadays, I mean, this thing comes by, it's a huge machine now, and it cuts it faster than you can cut your lawn, is the way it gets done with this whole field here, and then a blower truck is going to come by and get it all done. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about this tomorrow, but the changes in farming are just crazy to see when you get to see them. I saw something last week that I haven't seen in farming for a while. I saw cows outside. That's like a rare thing now. You used to see a lot of cows out in the fields when you drive around, and you hardly see it anymore because they're all in the barns 24/7, you know? And I think some of them have finally figured out, hey, he said, no pun intended, if you let them out in the field, You might get some better milk that way. You know?
They can graze that way. Yes. Well,
we got a story about
We got a story about grazing out there in the fields. Minnesota is experimenting with a mobile solar panel. And these are two wings, giant wings, solar panels. And they're attached to a battery-operated tractor that moves across the fields very slowly, providing shade for the cows out in the pasture.
This is epic.
It is.
Because we keep hearing, and you know, they're not totally incorrect, but saying, oh, these solar farms, they're taking up all this farmland. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, one thing that I've known is that they have been looking at ways to have your cake and eat it too. Have the solar panels, but either raise them up or have them, you know, rotate during the day so that the crops below can still grow. Or in this case, continue to provide shade for the cows as it's kind of mobile that way. That is amazing.
I know it's a really great idea, but it could be frustrating for the cows, you know, when they find a really good spot to graze.
Oh, yeah.
But the tractor keeps moving.
Eat so faster.
Just kind of moving along.
But it actually increases their milk production.
It
too,
does.
Right.
Yeah. That's the whole point of keeping them cooler in the, it's been so hot lately. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Except where you are, I guess you had cold temperatures up there, haven't you?
A little further north, closer to Lake Superior.
Oh, further north.
We've had our warm spells here, but I think that would just be amazing. You know,
it's a great
have
idea.
To start a new saying. You know, the grass is greener under the robotic tractor, something like that.
Solar powered like tractors.
Yeah. We had a very low key weekend here at the house. We didn't set up the list of 20 things to do. We just kind of did things as they came up. I spent ample time in the hammock, I'm happy to say. But one of you were busy doing the basement, which is one of those things I always say I'm going to do on a really cold winter day or something, and then it just never gets done. But you did it.
Well, I have two Gen Zers at home, and we have apartments in our home, and they just moved into these apartments by themselves now, separately, and they left all the junk in the basement in the middle of a walking area. You know, I mean, it's hard to walk down there now and do the laundry. So, I had to kind of clean that up and take care of some of the mess down there. So,
how much did you put at the end of the driveway with a free sign before they got the idea that maybe they should do something with this?
Well, I should have put it up in their apartments. That's what I should have done.
Yes. But you know, that is there's this rite of passage that I didn't appreciate right away as a young man, but I've come since to appreciate now, not just for my wife, but for my daughters. The rite of passage when you're of an age where your parents, usually your mom, will say to the daughter, okay, I've been holding on to this big old box with your wedding dress long enough. It's time for you to store it away because you finally bought your first home or whatever the case may be. And it's not just the wedding dress. That's just one example. But there is something about when my daughter, one of my daughters finally got a place of her own, is we loaded up the vehicle. And I mean, they got a small place, but it's still their place. So here's your stuff to go in your place.
Yeah.
We don't have to babysit it anymore. That's kind of
nice. That's true. Yeah. I wish my parents had done the same thing and let me know they got rid of all my stuff.
Oh my gosh.
That I left there. But oh no, you didn't. Yes, they got rid of a lot of the stuff. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness I took my 60s comic books with me though, Marvel Comics.
Yes.
I do know though.
I sold those. Yeah.
You just cashed those
in,
right?
I just cashed them in.
Some big bucks.
You know what you do? You take the old comics and you put them in auctions. There are auctions that sell comic books exclusively. Mm-hmm. And you get some really good money there. And I made out like a bandit, but it's sad to see them go. I didn't buy them to collect them. I loved reading and looking at the pictures in the comic books. I was a big comic book fan. So getting rid of them, and I used to draw comics too at one point. It was my inspiration when I was a kid, and then I'm selling them, and it's just it was heartbreaking, but I made some money.
I suppose. Yeah. I'd like to think that when my mom got really frustrated with me not cleaning my room, and one day threw away all of my baseball cards.
I was
probably like 11 years old or something at the time, and I totally deserved it. I would like to think that somewhere in there I can hold this over my mom's head that you threw away $1 million card.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident that, you couldn't get, $5 for the whole lot based on what I had. But we'll never know now.
You'll never know. My neighbor had like a gigantic cardboard box filled with cards. And when I think about that, there might have been some real classics in there.
Yeah.
Very valuable cards. So who knows?
You don't get to keep those. And yet every so often, no. I know there was a story a week or two ago, somebody finding like a Rembrandt or something that somebody else had painted over, and somehow they figured out to look underneath it and find, it's like, that always happens to somebody else, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does.
But you saved yours, and I thought that was pretty. Did you have a favorite genre of comics? I mean,
I like the superhero comics a lot. Spider-Man was one of the best ones. I could identify with him as a loner. You know, no one liked you. You know?
It's still the case today. I know. Yeah.
Up in my lonely room drawing comic books, imagining myself as a superhero. That's the way it is.
See, that my I was more not so much the superheroes. I was more Archie's. You know, Archie, Veronica, Betty, Reggie, which is why I guess we're going back maybe 10 years now.
When that
TV series Riverdale came out.
Oh,
and you know, it said it's going to be a young adult series based on the comic books. And sure enough, the characters were there, Archie, Betty, Veronica. But as they're all like taking each other's clothes off and having these sexy scenes in the shower, I'm like, this is not the comic book I read.
This is the comic book I wish I read.
Right. Yes.
And you can always show off your age by asking people, you know, when you're comparing to women's, like, you know, is it Betty or Veronica? And for others, it would now be, you know, what, Rachel or Monica? And of course, the quintessential one was Ginger versus Marianne.
Exactly.
You guys,
Gilligan's Island. Yeah.
Yes. We were heavily into all of that. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
You ever notice women never do that? They never take any two guys and go, you want this one or that one? It's like, well,
no.
You'd have to find two quality candidates to put up, you know, in order to do that. We're talking to Johnny Gordy. Yes, sir.
But now it's different. You know, a lot of women really do like to see the backside of a guy now in the movies and on TV.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I always wonder if that's... Is that real, or is that just wishful thinking on the guy's part when they write these things? But
well, I don't know. But I know my wife enjoys it.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm thinking, you know, she's not alone, alone in all of this. But yeah.
Okay. Fourth of July plans for you guys?
I don't really have any plans, and it's a 3-day weekend too. Yeah. So, we got. How about you, Pat? Are you doing anything?
Last night we said, you know, if we do something on Friday the 4th, we'd still have the 5th and the 6th, and Saturday, Sunday to hang out here on the lake. So we just made we looked at the Summerfest lineup, and I don't have it in front of me, but the lineup on the 4th of July looked pretty good. So I think we may wander down to Milwaukee. We haven't been to the big gig there in quite a few years.
Yeah, it's fun going down there. It really is. Just to walk around and see the different stages. Yeah.
Well, and half the fun, too, is at that Walker's Point neighborhood. There's a couple of nice, like, boutique hotels there now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you...
You're going to stay over.
You can stay over, and you don't have as much of, you know, the parking hassle or taking the shuttles. You know, the shuttle ride is a lot shorter from Walker's Point than it would be, you know, from other parts of the city.
True.
So I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, when we're comparing notes next week, I'll be curious to see if it's, it was as good as I remember, or if I'm going to give you the old man thing of, there were too many people. Oh, the crowds. I'm never going again. And the music was so loud. And no, I'm thinking I'll be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, the last time I went was to see Imagine Dragons. And wow, what a show that was. Yeah. Gee, that was a fantastic concert.
I'm not familiar with them. I don't know. Oh. Imagine Dragons.
Yep. Yeah.
Big with the kids.
Here's some of the stages on the 4th of July. Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Boy, really?
Am I showing my age? John Waite. John Oates of Hall & Oates.
No kidding.
Richard Marks. And Chicago, a little band called Chicago will be there as well. Fountains of Wayne and more. So right up my demographic alley. So, you know,
well, you know, a long time ago, they had a stage for Milwaukee bands. The old 60s, 70s Milwaukee bands played at one of the stages. I wish they'd do that again. like Milwaukee Skunks or the Ricochets or the Legends.
Yes.
Sammy
McHugh.
Love
a good local band. We've got one up here, Uncommon Denominator. They're just so good. You love having a good local band like that. We're talking with John and Gordy. A local update is next for some of you. Others will be back here for more with John and Gordy. And when we are all back together in the 8:30 half hour, we will be talking to Jeff Mandel of Law Forward about their lawsuit against Elon Musk. This is all followed at 9 a.m. by Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matinair will be along before too much longer to tell us what's coming up on her show as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. Hey there again. I'm here to bring you all the news going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you've ever thought about getting a pet, one of the best ways to go about it is by going to the Wisconsin Humane Society. Whether you're looking to adopt a pet or foster a pet or just maybe look at some cute puppy and kitten faces, as well as many other animals, the Wisconsin Humane Society is going to be a great resource for you. And that's why Don Rosen sat down with Angela Speed from the Wisconsin Humane Society to talk about the first steps of getting a new fur baby in your life.
Well, let's say hello to Angela Speed from the Wisconsin Humane Society. And good morning, Angela.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me, Don.
All right, let's talk about what's going on at the Wisconsin Humane Society. You got a lot of promotions going on. Dogs, cats, they have to be adopted. This is not a place where you want them to live their entire life. You want them to find a forever home. I love that phrase, forever home. And on one of the videos I saw, the guy walked in and said, "Give me the dog that's been here the longest. I want that dog." Aww. And or another person would say, "Give me the dog that's got the most medical problems and is unhappy here, and I'll take that dog." And I did that. We took a few dogs that were, you know, had health problems, and that's going to be expensive sometimes. But I didn't want them dying in a shelter. I wanted them home, and that's what we did. Let's talk about the dog promotion you've got. It's running now through the end of the month.
Yes. So we are in the middle of our peak summer season. We have so many animals coming through the doors every day. And we recently launched a dog promotion, but it ends this month. $75 adoption fees for all of our adult dogs, and just $25 for our bench warmers, who are dogs who have been available for more than 7 days. And of course, all of the dogs are spayed or neutered, vaccinated, microchipped, and they go home with a certificate for a free vet exam, a starter bag of food, 30 days of pet insurance. It's just, it's a fantastic deal. And of course, you have a new family member. And so our counselors are really eager to work with people interested in adopting. You can just stop by any of our campuses. Racine especially has quite a few kittens right now, too. And we are happy to work with your family and ensure a great match.
You know, and talking to a guy, when I was a year and a half, we got our first dog. And I've had dogs for about 60 years or more. Yeah, about 60 years. So I've always had dogs in my life. And now I told you we have our neighbor's pit bull come over, and he spends a day with us every Friday. And you just can't beat having a dog, especially at like 12:30 at night or 1 o'clock in the morning when they scratch at the side of your bed. I want to go out. We had three dogs at one time, three beagles. And when one wanted to go out in the middle of the night, I woke them all up. Everybody's going out because they're not going to wake up every hour on the hour. Everybody out. So whoever got up first, we woke them up. Come on, going out. Come on, outside, outside. And then they all came in. At least you got, you know, some sleep. But you can't put a price on all that. It just, I miss it. I miss waking up in the middle of the night, looking at their faces. And once I made eye contact with them, that was it. I had to get up. I mean, once they knew I saw them, then they didn't stop. But I just love dogs. I had cats, hamsters, pigeons, you name it. I used to have fish. We had everything in our house. It was a menagerie growing up. But, yeah, if you've never had a dog before, not every dog is right for the family. Go to the shelter and, you know, you'll see which dog is right for you. And do you ever have any mastiffs in there, those giant dogs?
Absolutely.
Really?
We see pretty much every kind of dog, and they range from, you know, little tiny fancy dogs to mastiffs and Saint Bernards and, you know, bigger dogs. Of course, we seldom know what breed they are, but with DNA testing now, people can find out what breed their dog is. But we see a huge range of ages and breed types and coats and personalities, of course, from couch potatoes to the dog who wants to go for a 5K run every day. So there's pretty much a great fit for just about everybody out there if you are looking for a dog.
Now you got the Rood Family Foundation for Rood Lighting, and you've got a match going on right now, right?
Yeah, so this is so exciting, and we are so grateful to the Rood Family Foundation. They've been steadfast champions of our work in Racine since we started there. And right now, first-time donors to the Racine campus will have their donations doubled by the foundation, and returning donors will receive a 50% match on their gifts. And this is through the end of the year, and it makes such a difference. And it's so cool because not only are the Rood Family Foundation making a gift, but they're inspiring others in the community to support work that they really care about.
How many branches do you have around the state?
We have six shelters, so yeah. Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, Sauksville, Door County, and Green Bay. And then we have a spay-neuter clinic in West Dallas that's a public, low-cost spay-neuter clinic open to the public.
Let's talk about fostering an animal. Now, this is different than adopting a pet, right?
Yes. So foster parents provide short-term care for animals who are not yet ready for adoption. And so that might be because they're too young, or they're recovering from an illness or an injury, or sometimes it's actually just for shelter space. When our kennels are full, foster families open up their homes so that we can create more space at the shelter. And it's such a fun program, and pretty much anybody can sign up. There's an online orientation we have people to watch and then fill out an application. And once you're part of the foster family, you get a list of animals looking for foster, and you can sign up for them. And it's it's a wonderful program. It's absolutely life-saving. Plus, if you fall in love, and it happens a lot, you do get first dibs on adopting your foster animal.
I won't lie, after listening to that interview, I may have headed over to the Wisconsin Humane Society's website to take a look and to see what they've got, you know? Just to check it out. But you can do the same. You can go to wihumane.org for more information. And if you want to hear that interview in its entirety, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Search for the Don Rosen Show, and you can find that as well as an archive of many other episodes going back months. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll be back in 20 minutes, and it is 8:29.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Charges have not yet officially been filed against 22-year-old Tremaine Jones. However, homicide is now on the table. Jones is being held in connection with the shooting of two Milwaukee officers last Thursday near 25th and Garfield. Jones, who was taken into custody early Friday morning, now faces likely homicide charges after one officer, 32-year-old Kendall Corder, died from his injuries. Officer Corder's partner, Christopher McCray, was also shot but is expected to recover. Law enforcement and rescue personnel lined the streets from Frater to the medical examiner's office yesterday to honor the fallen officer. Some local students are trying to figure out how AI can change everything. Microsoft and UW-Milwaukee have officially opened a new $3 million AI lab aimed at connecting local manufacturers with the latest automation technology. The lab unites UW-Milwaukee's Connected Systems Institute with Titletown Tech to help Wisconsin businesses develop AI-driven automation. The partnership is expected to boost both innovation and competitiveness for manufacturers across the state. A new study shows just how much money you need to live comfortably in Wisconsin. Savannah Tolme Olson has more.
Now, it's important we define what living comfortably means. According to Smart Asset, who did this analysis, that includes paying your bills, having adequate housing, being able to afford hobbies, the occasional vacation, and a rare emergency. Here in Wisconsin, to make that happen as a single person, you need to make about $87,000. That means Wisconsin is actually one of the cheaper states, coming in at the 37th most expensive. For a family of four, it's about $225,000. That's more middle of the road nationwide.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at waukradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Attention, avid readers, if there are still any left. You can never have enough psychological thrillers, as far as I'm concerned, and thanks to Amazon, there is a new one on the way based on a best-selling book. The streamer has purchased rights to Freda McFadden's The Tenant, which has been atop the New York Times bestseller chart for 7 weeks. The story follows Blake Porter, a marketing executive who loses his job and takes in a boarder to help make ends meet. You can imagine how that goes. Tough to find a good roommate, much less one who won't try to kill you. If you haven't been to Summerfest yet but have been meaning to go, you still have time. One more weekend, to be specific. The third and final weekend of one of the world's biggest music festivals kicks off again this Thursday, July 3rd. This upcoming weekend's music lineup includes Benson Boone, Fountains of Wayne, Social Distortion, John Oates, Without Hall, that doesn't seem right, Everclear, and the Lumineers. Hot fun in the summertime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a thunderstorm or two possible this afternoon. We'll get to 81 for a high. Tonight, clear, 65. Tomorrow, sunshine, 83. By Wednesday, it's going to be sunny with a high of 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang step into the host chairs, and they're joined by Tanya Atkinson of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin to discuss Donald Trump's threats to Wisconsinites' health care. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Did you know that Civic Media app has a brand new feature on it? You can use it to text us, of course. We've talked about that at length. But you can send us a voice note as well. You just use that voice note feature, and you can record a little audio message. It might be a comment on something you're hearing. It might be a question for one of us. So just all the more reason to download that Civic Media app and use the voice note feature to stay in touch. Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser will be here, dairy farmer from up in the Merrill area, Chad Holmes from Wausau, Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, and Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. And then on Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud from up north. But right now, we're going to have a little conversation with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward and talk about what I don't know, you can either call it billionaire bribery or you can call it bribery adjacent campaigning or whatever it is. Jeff Mandel and Law Forward want to make sure that these kinds of practices stay on the up and up or don't happen at all. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
No, it's nice to have you here. Thank you so much. Let's put it in your words instead of mine. Tell us about the lawsuit and the genesis of it and the outcome you hope to get.
Thanks, Pat. The lawsuit is about making sure we continue to have free and fair elections here in Wisconsin and about perpetuating a series of actions that Law Forward has taken to hold accountable those bad actors who try to undermine free and fair elections in Wisconsin. So let's step back to March, to the home stretch of the Supreme Court election that we had here in Wisconsin this past spring, to remind your listeners what happened. In the last 12 days of that election, Elon Musk, the world's richest man, showed up in Wisconsin and started to offer cash incentives for people to vote here in Wisconsin. And first, it was a petition that offered $100 to any registered voter who would sign the petition that very, very closely echoed the campaign themes and messaging of one of the candidates. And then all of a sudden, it was the chance of million-dollar checks to people who had signed the petition and said they'd already voted in the election. And then there was a series of payouts as well in the weekend before the election for people who were knocking on doors and getting photos of voters with the holding campaign material for Musk's preferred candidate and giving a thumbs up or a smile. All of these are efforts to induce people to vote. And in Wisconsin, you cannot give anything that is valued more than $1 to try to induce people to vote. It's against the law.
It sure seemed pretty clear that way. I mean, you can't induce anyone to go to the polls to vote for or to vote at all or to vote for a particular person. You refer to it as a brazen scheme to induce Wisconsinites to vote. And I think that's a generous way to put it. I mean, brazen truly fits what he was trying to get away with.
It's really outrageous. And it's even more outrageous when you put it in the context of some of the things we've seen in Wisconsin over the last few years, including complaints filed by individual candidates or political parties when, say, on campus, there was a Get Out the Vote activity that offered ice cream for people who came out to early vote. And they said, well, ice cream is worth more than a dollar. Maybe it is. I mean, I don't know exactly what the details of that program were, but $1 million check is certainly worth more than a dollar. And even the chance to get $1 million check, right? We don't sell lottery tickets in this country for less than a dollar usually. So it really is a brazen scheme. It's brazen in how open and outrageous it is, how contemptuous of the law it is. And we can't let this continue. The day after the election, there was a really distressing article to me in the Washington Post because U.S. Senator from North Carolina, Tom Tillis, who I guess made his own news this past weekend.
Yep.
But Senator Tillis was asked about this, and his reaction was really just astonishing to me. But what he said in essence was that Elon Musk is a disruptor. And he comes in with new ideas and thinks about things differently than we have before, and we all have to adapt. And so what he said is, for the 2026 midterm elections, we should expect to see millionaires of all different political stripes standing up on stages and giving away huge checks. And that's just a horrifying dystopian vision to me. That's not the way we understand or want elections to work in this country. And that was really one of the moments when we decided we had to, even after the election, come in and try to make sure this can't happen again.
Right. I mean, you either have that outlook or hear me out here, you don't allow voters to be bribed in one form or another. But now we have to ask the legal thicket question that there was an effort just prior to the election to try to get this practice smacked down, and courts did not go along with it. What is different this time now that the election's in the past? What is different about the lawsuit, the arguments that you're making that you hope make it more likely a court will formally and finally end practices like these?
It's a great question. I think really the biggest difference is the context and the timing. You know, courts have a tremendous amount of power, but they also, as institutions, are not really built to work quickly. Excuse me. The goal of courts is to arrive at the truth and then to enforce the law based on what it finds about those facts. What you were referencing, Pat, was that in the run-up to the election, there was an effort by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to put a stop to an event the Sunday evening before the election where Musk handed out two $1 million checks. We had been pushing Attorney General Call to take action and to try to stop this, and we're grateful that he made the effort. But he filed his papers on a Friday afternoon, asking the court to stop something that was happening 48 hours later. And that's really just not in sort of the DNA of our court system to do things quickly over the weekend in exceptional circumstances. The wheels of justice generally grind slowly, and the courts, no court that weekend. Within those 48 hours, Attorney General Call was in the trial court in Wisconsin, in the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But none of those courts said that he was wrong. None of those courts said that what Musk was doing was okay. What each of those courts said is, we're not willing or able to do this on the schedule you're asking us for. And so what our lawsuit is doing is saying, okay, we'll take you at your word, courts, but now the election is over. Things are calm and settled. We're not in an urgent situation, but we do need to know what the law is and get this clear before the next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, because we can't allow this to happen again. And if you remember at the beginning when I recapped what happened, I said that Musk didn't start these efforts until 12 days before the election. I don't think that's accidental. I think part of what they're trying to do is jam the courts. They're trying to show up and do things right on the edge and do them at such a time that nobody can really stop it. And so we're coming in at this moment and saying, let's put a stop to this.
It's downright diabolical. We're talking to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. It's a legal group that already has a pretty good history of holding some bad actors to account. There was the exposing of the fraudulent electors scheme that was cooked up here in the state. And then there was the complaint against the Office of Lawyer Regulation that held that former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman had made some ethical abuses during his sham investigation into the 2020 election. So, you know, this is a group that does not take things lightly when you're doing these things. So you have filed the lawsuit here against Elon Musk. What's next? How should we expect to see things play out?
Well, as I said, courts move slowly. And so there's going to be a period of time where the defendants here, which is Elon Musk, a political action committee that he founded and runs called America PAC, and then another organization that he created with the unbelievable name of the United States of America, Inc. They're the ones who sent people these actual checks. So you would sign the petition from America PAC, and it said that America PAC would send you a check. But the check actually came from the United States of America, Inc. People got emails that said the United States of America has money for you. So those are the defendants here, those three entities. They're going to have an opportunity to answer this complaint, and then the lawsuit will get rolling. So I would expect around Labor Day, we'll have a schedule from the court and we'll be able to move forward.
Can somebody also then do the lawsuit that says what state allowed you to incorporate the name United States of America Incorporated? I mean, I don't know who runs these anymore. I always thought it was every Secretary of State's office in the state, but somebody dropped the ball on that one.
Indeed, Pat, you are correct. I mean, I think we all share an intuition that it just doesn't seem like it can possibly be acceptable to incorporate and claim that you're doing business in the name of the United States of America. You'll be unsurprised to know that the answer to your question of where was that ball dropped is in the Texas Secretary of State's office.
No.
And, you know, we could either go to court in Texas and try to deal with it there, or what we didn't want to do was make an issue of that and allow the whole case to get sucked into the federal courts. This is really an issue of Wisconsin law, and we want this resolved here in our Wisconsin courts.
Okay. There's just so many issues. I mean, I could even go off on a different tangent. I remember when Ron Johnson first ran for office, and this was, 2010, and instead of paid for by Ron Johnson for Senate, it was paid for by Johnson for Senate LLC. And I'm like, what kind of path are we wandering down here that corporations are literally running for office now? But that's a side issue. And then one other side issue, forgive me for going off on a tangent here, but when we talk about signing these quote-unquote petitions, and I want to put finger quotes around petition, because I remember when I was running for Congress in 2012, and they said, oh, we got to do these petition things. And I still have a very old-school definition of what a petition is. You know, it's to list your grievances against the government, for example. But that's not what these are. These are campaign things. They just collect your name and say, hey, we collected 110,000 signatures on this petition. It's not an actual petition, but it shows the slippery slope of first a petition is not a petition, and now a petition is something that maybe we could send you a dollar or $1 million if you sign. And it is so hard as a voter to know what's a gimmick and what's not a gimmick, that the worst thing that could happen, Jeff, is that you and Law Forward aren't there to at least try to get a court to provide a little bit of clarity of what some bad actors can't do.
Well, it is very frustrating because, as you say, we think of petitions as a means of aggregating public opinion and giving it to decision makers to help guide them and help them understand what their constituents want. But these days, so often, especially online, petitions are not that. They are simply means to collect people's email addresses and text numbers. And it's just a whole shift in campaigning, as you mentioned. And some of it is constitutionally protected, but actually paying people in an effort to induce them to vote or to induce them to vote for a specific candidate, that is illegal. And yeah, we cannot allow ourselves to go down that road here in Wisconsin. No.
Cannot. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, thank you so much. I really appreciate the information and wish you all the best in the suit.
Thank you so much.
All right. Local update is next for some of you. For others, you'll come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't scroll past summer. Experience it live at Summerfest. See your favorite artist, grab your go-to fest food, and make memories you'll talk about all year. Because it's more than just a music festival. It's your summer highlight reel. Don't miss Summerfest, presented by American Family Insurance, June 19th through 21st, June 26th through 28th, and July 3rd through 5th. The stories you tell this summer, they start at Summerfest. Get tickets now at summerfest.com.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earlier, I played for you a clip from a press conference with Bucks assistant GM Milt Newton about their draft pick this past week. I also talked about the fact that we're going to be getting to know him over the next few weeks and months before the upcoming season. And to help with that, our very own Mike Klebbins stopped by Don Rosen's show to talk about Bogoljub Markovic, the 19-year-old draft pick, and what he's going to be bringing to the table for the Bucks this upcoming season.
The Bucks! They got a 47th overall pick, second round. How did you learn how to pronounce this guy's name? He's from, where's he from?
Serbia.
Serbia. How did you learn how to pronounce that name?
Bogoljub Markovic.
You had training on that name. You didn't just pick it up like that, did you?
I've been repeating it since about 11 o'clock last night.
In your sleep over and over again.
Yeah. Bogoljub Markovic, they'll call him Bogo, like Giannis, you know, okay. Antetokounmpo. And like Giannis, He's just 19 years old and playing in the Serbian adult league. He got in there like 2 years ago, and he plays for a team called the Mega Basket. And he's just 19 years old, a kid out there amongst the grown adults, 14 points a night, 6-7 rebounds, 2 assists, about 28 minutes a game or so, and very accurate for a 6'11 kid, 53% from the field, very accurate shooter.
How do they find him?
That's it. Don, when you go into the NBA locker room, it's like all these players from Europe or from China. When you go into the Brewers clubhouse, it's all these players from, the Caribbean, from the Dominican Republic, from Puerto Rico, or Venezuela, Jackson Churio, William Contreras, Venezuela players. So these scouts are, they're in Eastern Hemispheres for basketball and the Western Hemisphere for baseball. And if you're in an NFL locker room, you get players from faraway places like Iowa, Minnesota, Florida, because they don't play tackle football.
Caledonia?
In Venezuela or in Serbia.
I wouldn't think to look for a basketball player in Serbia, but I guess word leaks out if they're a good player. 19. What was I doing when I was 19? Oh, yeah, my dad was screaming at me to go find a job. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, you started, sweeping up at some radio station. How'd that work out?
But that's right, I was.
This kid's very accurate. And now we thought that last night, the draft is coming up. And the Bucks have traded away their first-round picks over the years. And so we knew that they didn't have a pick in the first round. And so on Monday afternoon, though, see, every year for the NBA draft, the team opens up the doors. There's like a little draft party for the media. There's a spread of food. And then, you bring your laptop and your recorder and your microphones and your notepads and stuff. And, we're in there for 10, 11 hours or so, watching all the players come off the board, talking to the GMs and the coaches, maybe a scout and all that. It's a long night. And it's a long 2 nights or so. And Monday, it's like there still wasn't any plan. And, I got to plan this stuff. So I sent the Bucks a note, and she got back to me about 20 minutes later, said, hey, hang on, it's coming. And, she's getting clearance from the team. And so they put out a notice a couple days before, said, we're not going to do anything for the first round. The event will be come Thursday night for the second round. So they're already tipping off that the Bucks have no intentions of making some mega trade to get into the first round, because they're not going to do anything Wednesday night. But it come at 6:00. We'll open the doors to Fiserv Forum, and we'll have some food there, and then we'll monitor the draft. And when the draft's all over with, we'll bring down Bucks general manager John Horst. And he'll talk about what they did there in the second round with the 47th pick, and we're also saying, okay, here's the first time we get to talk to the Bucks since the end of the season. And, what's the latest on Giannis? And, what are your thoughts that way? So I drive up from Racine to the Deer District, and my phone's buzzing, and, I'm in heavy traffic. So it's not till I get to the parking structure there in the Deer District. I check my phone. They had just canceled the event. Tonight's event has been canceled, like 30 minutes before they opened the door. And they said, listen, we're going to do a Zoom call, nothing in person. We're going to do a Zoom call after the draft is over with tonight with the Bucks' assistant general manager, Milt Newton. And, Milt's a good guy, knowledgeable, but we wanted to talk to the man, John Horst. So I turn around, I get back to the house here in Mount Pleasant, and we wait for the Zoom call, and we talk about, we get a background on this kid that they drafted. And then during the draft coverage, they said Giannis is very close. Reports are he's watching the draft very carefully in free agency and everything that move the Bucks make, and whether or not he decides he's going to come back or wants to be traded away, blah, blah, blah. And they asked him about that, and Milt said, I'm not here to talk about Giannis. I'm here just to talk about BOGO.
He wants to be traded away?
Well, people, there's this thing that's been, kicked around about after Damian Lillard. He suffered a torn Achilles and probably will miss most of next season. And Giannis wants to be on a winning team. And, who knows? Maybe there's some better offer out there where there's some team that's got more capital where they can put a team together. And yet, I hear from a very good source, from a, Bucks organization guy who drove Giannis to the airport and the family. They're going on a family vacation in Greece. And when they're in the car, Giannis is like, do you believe this stuff on the radio? That, he says, where do they get this stuff? So, you know, Giannis will tell somebody in the Bucks organization, I have no idea where this comes from. So who knows?
As always, that entire interview is available at civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show, then download the episode to your device and listen to it whenever you want, because we know you're busy and your life is on the go. So go to civicmedia.us/shows. And I'll also remind you about our podcasts. Go to your podcast distribution center of choice, search for your favorite Civic Media show, subscribe to it, and it will be delivered to you anytime a new episode is available. And just between me and you, I'd keep a lookout to the store here at Civic Media for brand new merch that's going to be available pretty soon. So just keep a lookout there at the store. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with news in southeastern Wisconsin, head over to waukradio.com and subscribe to our daily news podcast. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Monday morning. It's 8:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief.
Senate will come to order.
Hours after debate wound down, sleepy lawmakers are back on Capitol Hill ahead of a vote on the president's massive spending plan. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Today, Senate Republicans have to decide. Choose the American people or bow down to Donald Trump and his coterie of billionaires.
Jury deliberations are getting underway at music mogul Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The judge is really providing them with detailed jury instructions, like you have to find proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, say a gunman set a brush fire, then ambushed firefighters who responded, killing two of them. The suspect is dead as well. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Keep in mind, this was a wildfire as well that was going on, so they had to go and scoop up the suspect's body and kind of disturb the scene. They plan to go back there later on today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.